There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now, all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
I think we got a show.
Oh yeah, we got a show.
And welcome back everybody to WTL, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
the J.O.
The J.O. And oh man, I felt bad for you and your Chargers, but I think we kind of saw that coming.
We saw it coming. I mean, that's why I had
Still hurts in the bottom five,
but boy, did it hurt.
Yeah. Poor Herbert was just a statue back there, and they were just teeing off.
What do you expect? Yeah. You just have a guy out there to be massacred on every play, and he can only do so much.
I mean, before the game was even over, you started seeing memes of him down on his knees and all the offensive linemen helping him up. It was bad.
It was pretty bad.
But they made the playoffs, right?
We made the playoffs, and then 2 days later, fired the offensive coordinator, fired the line coach, everything that needed to happen to give hope. I'm already excited for next season. So, I mean, we're already moving on, right, to next season. Like, next season's what we're both looking forward to, right? Like,
I'm not yet. Right there.
Chicago the Bears.
Everybody on the old YouTubes. I got my Jim McMahon jersey. We are partying like it's 1985. I don't know if our defense is quite there yet.
Not quite to that level, but they're still pretty good.
Pretty good. Caleb Williams is now like the all-time leading passer, of yards in the playoffs, yards during a season. Like, he really is the best, if you go by stats, quarterback Chicago's ever had.
Oh, Chicago's ever had. I thought you were just saying in general, the best. I'm like, that's pretty bold.
No. Chicago. The bar is... I hate it when people are like, well, you got Tom Brady, you got Peyton Manning. No. Okay, I get it. You know, you want to compare somebody to the two best, maybe of the all time. No, I'm just saying of Chicago.
I mean, Jay Cutler was pretty good.
He was. He could spin it. But even there, they thought they could go all in on offense. Brandon Marshall, it just went against the identity. And I don't feel like you can do that. They're going against the will of the gods, the football gods. Can't do it.
So it took us, I'm pretty sure I was asking you almost every single week, how about them Bears? Huh? And you're like, it took you to this point, the divisional round.
I'm speaking as a fan right now.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll get into the sports betting. We're talking NFC divisions here.
I love it. I love that.
And speaking of fandom, how about those Huskers?
Oh, go Big Red. That is insane. I'm impressed even more every single game.
17-0. That is the longest winning streak Nebraska's ever had. 20-0 if you go back to the crown, that postseason run they had last year.
That counts.
You know, I did see a pretty good post. You know, every team in the history of NCAA basketball that has won the crown, the Las Vegas tournament, has not lost a game yet.
What a stat.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, I That was a debate I heard last year. Well, what's better, going to a tournament like that, you know, where the guys can have some success, or going back to the NCAA tournament and probably losing the game? I said right then and there, no, you're not at that level yet. Have some fun, gain some confidence, and I mm-hmm. think it in the long run, some of those players said, yeah, we probably wouldn't have came back. We probably would have transferred out mm-hmm. had we not had our opportunity to play some ball, put in some minutes, and the coaching staff got to see some of those guys. Look where they're at now.
Well, isn't that impressive? Because they used to say that about the NIT to yeah. some extent. It's like, yeah, yeah. All right, get a run in the NIT, you know, and some of those teams would win it. And then the next season, they put some things together. And
right.
They were able to make a run in the NCAA tournament. And then teams just started, we don't want to play in the NIT. They'd almost rather sit out, almost like a college bowl
yeah.
game, right?
Yeah.
There's something to the crown yeah. and what Nebraska's doing.
It reminds me of the football team last year when they finally made a bowl game, finally got that monkey off their back, won that bowl game in a, you know, kind of a gritty game. What was that? The Pinstripe Bowl.
Pinstripe Bowl, baby.
In Yankee Stadium, you know, when you think of all-time great settings of college football.
Yankee Stadium.
You think of the house.
Yankee
that,
Stadium.
The house that the Mickey built or the Bay built, whatever. But speaking basketball here, they are 6-0 in the Big Ten, ranked in the top 10, first time since like 1971.
Yeah.
And that was short-lived in 1971. They got blown out the following game once they got ranked. Here is where you do have to look at it. The books have caught up to Nebraska, as has the national media. Like all that talk, are they for real? Then there's nothing you can say now. There's no box that they haven't checked.
Right.
So what I'm getting at with the books here, they are only 10-7 against the spread. Hmm. So they're winning these games, obviously, 6-0 in the Big Ten. But some of these point spreads are kind of inflated. You're getting over anxious fans saying, "Oh yeah, they're gonna do this.
Smoke them."
Yep. I mean, and they've won in a multitude of ways. Gritty comeback defense. We just saw it where Ring Mast only had 5 points.
Yeah.
Got in foul trouble, still able to out rebound a much taller Oregon team at home. And you know, Dan Altman back in the house. Saying some glowing things. People are feeling like he's jinxing them, saying, no, they're going to win a tournament game this year. But the facts remain, they out-rebounded them in the first half. They got zero offensive rebounds in the first half, and Fred Hoiberg even said that in his postgame. When I saw that stat, I felt really good about us being able to pull off that win.
Yeah, Oregon, Dale, I mean, he seems kind of down on his squad.
Yeah.
He said he was embarrassed with the performance with what this team's done before
yeah.
and how they're playing in Lincoln. But then everything he said about Nebraska, yeah, it does seem like, all right, are people saying things to try to spin the vibes?
Right.
And let's not do that because this yeah. team
no,
has
I don't
something
hear it.
Special.
I can feel his pain and just on the surface alone where your squad is much taller.
Yes.
Much more athletic. They have way more stars behind their names when they yep. got recruited. And it is a little embarrassing when you're just losing because you're getting out-hustled.
Oh,
you're getting out-rebound by Sam Hoiberg. Oh, I mean, that's great, but I mean, come on. Is he 6 foot? I know he's listed at 6 foot. You know, it's just frustrating.
Sam
you know?
Hoiberg, he left the game at one point.
Oh, boy.
He had to go. He had to use the bathroom. I mean, he had to go.
Yeah.
I mean, when it, as a guy with Crohn's disease, when you gotta go, you've gotta go.
I knew you were gonna. I saw when Barstool retweeted. I'm like, oh man, Jeremy's all over this one.
Oh yeah, that's right in my wheelhouse. I was like, this is perfect. I need more athletes more info like this out there.
That also speaks to what I was getting at earlier. They can win in a multitude of ways because. Yeah. You know, with a minute left in the half, and that's when he had to leave. He's like, I'm out of here. I'm going to go hit the halftime early. He's usually in the game,
yes.
you know, in those critical final 4 minutes of a half, you know, and he's like, no, you gotta have to figure something else out. And this also was the game that we've been hearing about this. Yes, Fred Hoiberg, head coach, had to, like, flip the script. He had to, like, gear it more towards something that was sustainable to build at Nebraska, and that was – defensive-minded guys, older guys, roster had to get old. But we've been hearing about it. These guys can shoot. You had two players knock down 7 threes in the same game. 17 triples overall against Oregon. And that's the type of buzzsaw, like, nobody's touching you then.
Man, if you can shoot like that, you can hang with anybody. And yeah. they're going to need it because in a couple weeks, they do have Michigan.
Yes.
On the schedule.
Let's look at January 24th. January. This is going to be tough. January 24th at Minnesota, followed up 3 days later at Michigan. Now, we do have to go on the road here the 17th and play Northwestern.
Mm. Should get the Wildcats in Chicago, right?
I mean, honestly, they should still have that zero in the loss column when they go into Michigan.
Yeah, 20-0 versus Michigan.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be so? Oh, my God. In the top 10. You know, there's another team in the state of Nebraska, too, that I want to make mention of, not having the season that they were hoping for, but the Creighton Blue Jays. They're doing all right as of late. They're 11-7 overall, 5-2 in the Big East, and they pulled off one heck of an overtime win against Georgetown. That was on FS1, I believe.
Yes. Peacock.
Peacock was
Peacock.
All the streaming services. It's so much fun bouncing around. I don't even know where I'm at anymore. But it looked like they were down and out, and they somehow were able to slap that together, pile in a lot of points late. And I know Georgetown isn't what they used to be, but it's still a brand name, and it's a Big East win.
That's the thing. Any game in the Big East is going to be tough. Austin Swartz, 33 points, has just really come into his own, you know, for Creighton. This has been a weird season for them. It's up and down, but there's a lot of talent on this team.
Right.
That's the thing. They're 5-2 in conference. If they can continue that momentum, they still have tournament dreams.
Oh, yeah.
It's not out of the talk.
Streaky, it's still on the table.
Absolutely.
And they've always been able to shoot themselves out of trouble, and that's exactly what they did against Georgetown. So that if you let that team hang around, which, you know, there's a lot of teams in the, let's be honest, in the Big East, that they can't close out other teams. They're just not that. They're not built like a lot of Big Ten teams, I would say.
Right. I mean, couldn't you see this team go into Madison Square Garden and just win the Big East tournament, or at least get to the end and just hang close enough to get in? You know,
we've seen it before. We've seen it before. Even like we brought it up a couple weeks ago, Arch Madness back when they're in the Valley, they would have no business going on a run with some of those teams, and they would end up winning the thing and getting that free ticket to the dance. And then winning a game.
And that's just enough, you know. But Creighton, it's not over. I certainly think that there's better days ahead for this Creighton team still.
Yeah, there's still two games. What was this? 8-10 against the spread. 8-10 against the spread. And they've been getting better and better as of late. Kind of disappointed at home, you know. Yeah. And we actually witnessed one of those.
We saw that,
you know. But, I mean, Utah Tech. I mean, what did that really tell us? You know, it was fun.
It was fun.
A get-right game, I guess you could say.
Exactly. And they very much needed the W.
But overall, 11-7 with some of the struggles that they've had to overcome, I think there are reasons to believe they could turn this around and, hey, make a run in March, right?
Absolutely. And that's the thing. When you got McDermott as your coach, good days ahead.
I think so.
Yep.
We've seen it before, right? Absolutely. So I'm not giving up on the Jays yet. And you better believe I got pretty high hopes for the Huskers. You heard the horn. That means we're up against it. So let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Ale House, located in Warhorse Casino, Omaha. Come as you are for an elevated dining experience. Signature dishes include the whiskey marinated Omaha steak and the always tender prime rib. Warhorse Casino, Omaha, and the Warhorse Sportsbook. No bets, no glory. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL.
Gentlemen, it brings me to my next point. Don't smoke crack.
WTL.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. You know what that stands for. Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm yours, Andy Klassen, joined by...
The J-O.
The J-O. I love it when you put that little moxie on it, you know? Like
The
J-O. And we've been having a lot of fun recently, and I think it's just getting bigger and bigger. So we're going to throw our hat right in the ring, and that's these predictive markets. Whether it's Robinhood, Polymarket, Kalshi, how do you say that?
Is it, I think it's Kalshi?
I think it's Kalshi too, but yeah. I hear I hear people talking about it on ESPN or whatever, and they'll say like Clashley. I'm like, huh, am I saying it wrong?
It can't be that.
I don't think so. No. I think it's Ryan Clark. He's always got a good thing to say too.
Then we know it's not right.
That's so easy to throw shade at those ESPN guys. But hey, we're on ESPN Radio, so we should have the we can do that. Right.
Yeah, I mean that means we're allowed to goof around with them a little bit.
We can pick on our little brother, big brother, whatever. There's a little sibling rivalry there or something like that, right?
ESPN's never been known for internal fighting, right?
So our sports director, guy I call most of our games with at NCN Sports, he's like, man, have you ever read that ESPN book that came out when they first started? I'm like, I forget the name of it. It was something like Wild ESPN or something. He's like, dude, everything that you heard is true. Like, all of it.
That is one of the books on my list for this year. Okay. I want to read. That is
all
is
right.
True story. That is actually one of the books I want to read this year.
And congratulations. You already got a book done, right?
You know what? I wasn't going to bring it up myself, but thank you. Yes,
the Sums.
I did finish a book in 2026 already.
Yes.
You know, I don't need gifts or anything for this accomplishment, but it is pretty impressive.
Yeah, take a bow, right?
It's pretty impressive.
You're well on your way. We'll keep that positive momentum behind you, you know, keep nudging you forward, hitting those goals. Love it.
You know, speaking of predictions, I predict I may read a second one.
All right, I like that. That's a nice segue. Do you got a real prediction market pick for us?
I happen to have a real one.
All right.
I believe that during the Super Bowl halftime, Bad Bunny, by the way, is your Super Bowl halftime performer. President Trump will post about how bad the halftime show was during the actual performance itself.
Boy, he probably already has that locked and loaded, just ready to fire.
Pre-written.
And he's not only is he going to let that thing just like a missile go off on True Social, he'll like actually put it on X too, just to make sure that it's out there.
He's going on the mothership with it.
He
too.
Might.
Holy
I mean,
cow.
That fits him so well. I mean, even the whole Rob Reiner thing, that was so bad.
Oh, it was awful. Jeez. How do you do that?
I mean, I know the guy actually had like a talk show on how to get him fired. I'm like, I get it. He wasn't kind to you or had kind things to say, but you are the president. You're going to take those arrows, right? You're going to have people that aren't on your side. But man, that was rough.
But and Rob Reiner is such a beloved figure.
Yeah.
Like everybody loved him.
I mean, if there should be the easiest way to go ahead and bury the hatchet. The guy is gone.
He's gone.
Like,
yeah.
Really gone in a terrible, bad way. So anyhow, this also fits in line with some of those spirited text messages or social media posts.
Yes.
that Trump will fire off. They're our president, commander in chief. I got one that might be a little more fun, but there is a dark side to it.
Okay.
This is right in the middle of pop culture and what's going on right now and what people are talking about. And I'm seeing an evolution happen here. Have you seen the boom in AI girlfriends?
Oh yeah, I've seen.
I mean, this isn't a Walking Phoenix movie anymore. This like people, men, young men are getting hooked on these AI girlfriends.
Well, they can tell them exactly what they want them to say, how they act, what they look like.
And you can like create the girl that you want,
correct,
make her look however you want. And yeah, she's just going to tell you what you want to hear. Yep. She's not going to be ragging on you to do the dishes or whatever. I also see on the other side, stick with me here, the gatekeepers of like Hollywood, after you've fallen off, you got to like pay your dues to get back up in there.
Yep.
And some of the times a good way to do that is, all right, we're going to let you host a docuseries about the environment or something. It's not going to be mainstream. We'll put on Netflix or whatever. But if you can do that, then we'll get you back in some movies. That is what Will Smith is going through right now. I just saw that Will Smith is a host of some nature-happy docuseries on Netflix. So I'm thinking then he's going to do good because it's Will Smith.
Yeah, he's getting jiggy with it.
He's getting jiggy with it, you know, and he's making me believe that he really cares about these palm trees or whatever it is. You know, I saw the trailer.
I just want him to care about Chris Rock. I don't care about the palm trees.
Exactly where I'm going. He's going to be at the Golden Globes or some award show. I'm saying any award show. The host is going to be up there doing a bit on AI girlfriends.
Okay.
And Will Smith's phone is going to start beeping and flashing lights, and it's going to be his AI girlfriend summoning him just like Jada Pinkett did. You need to go handle this. You need to handle this right now, Will. So I'm thinking he's going to get kicked out of another. He's going to slap another host of an awards show because his AI girlfriend is going to make him do it.
That's wild.
The odds on that are going to be insane. I need to find someone to take this bet. It's going to be like a 99-cent to 100 type of a deal.
Absolutely.
Big payout. But that I'm just connecting all these dots, and I'm seeing a hurt guy. Will's hurt right
He's
now.
He's hurting for sure.
And he wants to get back in the limelight, and he's paying his dues. He's doing the nature shows. And I think he's got to find comfort in someone other than Jada Pinkett Smith. And so that's going to be the AI girlfriend. But she's going to have that. She's not going to want to hear that.
He even tried to go back to music, and that didn't pan out either. You know, so when you were thinking about this, because I can tell you've been thinking about this one for a bit.
Yeah, it's all just coming together.
Did you do the wall with the string and the paper and the pictures and just kind of connected the dots? I mean, how did that work?
A little bit. You know, Ashley and I needed to start a new show on Netflix, so we're kind of surfing, and then Netflix kept saying, "No, Will Smith, this docuseries, you got
to
see it.
You have to watch this.
This is it. It's not a top 10. It's not a nothing, but he's back, and you're going to want this." And then my phone wouldn't leave me alone with all these AI girlfriend ads. And like, I'm not about that at all.
Right.
You know, like, I'm happily married. I don't do this. I don't do that. So I'm like, oh my God, there's something going on here. So I was just, that was just my brain going on a bender. Just
amazing.
Yeah. So it's going to be great odds. And I think Will's going to, he's going to lose his cool.
Yeah, hey, it's been done before. I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm also just betting on the history repeating itself in a way.
You know, you did bring up the Golden Globes. I do want to say congratulations, Amy Poehler. She won Best Podcast. We did not win. But maybe next year we could win a Golden Globe. So.
Yeah, I put that on a poll. Who got the greatest snub at the Golden Globes? I did put Laugh With Me on there. So.
Oh, well, thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, it was quite the snub.
Hey, speaking of Netflix and the evolution of entertainment, they've picked up like 25 or more podcasts, video podcasts that are just shows now, just straight up
just shows,
video podcast shows. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Incredible.
It's incredible to think that this started 3 years ago as just a podcast. And then we brought on the YouTube channel. Then we got syndicated on ESPN Radio. What do you think? We're a half step away from Netflix.
I think we're almost there. We're almost global.
We should put that on Polymarket.
Which brings me to my next prediction. That's awesome. Well, mine's not as out there as Will Smith, although...
I was swinging big. Big Willie style.
That's huge, yeah. I mean, that's a big one. Although this is maybe not as likely as that, and that is Mike McDaniels will become the Los Angeles Chargers offensive coordinator for next season. How you feel about that?
That could really happen.
That could actually really happen.
And I think he would be pretty good at it, wouldn't he?
He would be.
He wouldn't be asked to do too much.
So when I first saw his name attached to it, I was like, absolutely not. I mm-hmm. don't want... And then I got past that initial mm-hmm. response. And I'm like, he's such a crazy character. He dives in the analytics of it.
Yep.
I actually like him and Harbaugh together. Yeah. And they're just their weirdness would be just gold.
Yeah. That'd be like a... What, two negatives make a positive or something like that?
Yeah, maybe. You know? Maybe it deserves to be on like Hard Knocks.
That'd be great.
Put that on HBO. Yeah.
And he's been part of some just stellar, really good NFL staffs. So he knows how to, you know, get in line. But he's creative enough of a guy. Like, I mean, it looked like that ship had sailed like in week 3. And then they went on a run, like out of nowhere. Yeah. And then they kind of turned into a team you didn't want to play down the stretch.
And he looked upset about it. He was not happy about it, that's for sure.
And then he kept his job the whole way until, I guess it was John Harbaugh got him fired, is what's coming out.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, because remember how it was seven teams contacted him? And we're like, well, there's only six.
Yep.
Or there were seven at the time, but one was Baltimore.
One was Baltimore,
The seventh was
Miami.
Was Miami, and they still had him hired.
Wow.
And I don't think they're going to land it. I don't think they're going to land John, but who knows?
That's incredible. Well, Mike McDaniels, Chargers offensive coordinator, that's my prediction.
Okay. Along those same lines, coaching carousel hits a little closer to home. Mike Eckler Is he going to be in USC or Nebraska next year?
Boy, if I had to put money on it, I'd say Nebraska.
So much came out today. Did you hear all that?
I have yesterday? Seen that. Yeah.
I mean, that was, and no one knows. It's just murky. And then Coach Rule got up there and talked for like 15 minutes just in circles, like, I love the guy. We signed him. We tried to sign him to another longer contract. So he didn't sign his extension?
Oh.
Like, what's going on? What?
All right, now I'm thinking.
Yeah, like, what are we talking about?
He's going to California.
And people had already been saying, like, why can't Coach Rule just be quiet for maybe a week or something? Like, isn't this a dead period?
Like, is he still doing his podcast? Did he say this on his podcast?
I don't know where it was. I caught it on the radio.
Okay.
Doing a commute this morning. And yeah, he was just talking at length and everybody was just hammering him. It was a press conference. Everyone was just hammering him. Well, what about Eckler this? What about Eckler that? You know, and he even said, well, all the guys that were under him on that staff, we are retaining them. So they already taught the, so I'm like, oh man, that almost sounds like he's going to USC.
Yeah, so that sounds worse. And he was doing the same circle with Raiola too, when the rumors of him leaving, you know, were there.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about that.
Is that all of our predictions this week for the prediction markets?
I got one quick one for you.
Okay, let's do it.
Dylan Raiola will enter the portal again.
Yeah. That's actually probably as close to the same odds as my Will Smith. Yeah. Getting told by an AI girlfriend to smack the host of the Golden Globes. Two surefire heads.
I love it.
You just look at his track record, you know. And I do you think his camp was counting on the starting quarterback to enter the draft?
Oh, yeah.
And now he's like, no, I'm coming back.
Yeah. I think it was bad timing, too, for
right?
Dylan's announcement to come just days ahead of
him saying, no, I'm coming. This is still my locker room. This is still my offense, buddy.
Yeah, that was wild.
He might transfer within the next week.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet today because why not? There's still openings out there.
We're going to have to really get into some of these different prediction markets and see where we can't find some of these lines. That's all it is. It's a yes, a no. You put that bet out there. Someone's got to bet against it, and then there we go. They're just the platform.
Some say it's the future, but I say it's the now.
It is the now, and it's getting bigger now and now and now. So, all right, let's take a quick minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is NordVPN. Browse, work, play online with confidence thanks to their world-class cyber security. Shield your online activities, hide your virtual location, and block everyday internet threats with NordVPN. Oh, also receive up to 77% off when using our WTL link. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now, all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
From walking barefoot in the snow to hiking for miles for a view, it feels good to connect with our simpler side. Simplifying your wellness with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake feels good too. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st when they go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code NEWS.
W-T-L.
Hello.
Hi, I'm looking for a Mr. Ron. First name Mo.
Mo Ron? Moron. It's you, little puke.
W-T-L.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the line? Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm yours, Andy Klassen, joined by
the J.O.
The J.O. from Nebraska, now out of Omaha, but we got to get right to it. We had some fun there talking prediction markets, talking Huskers and their phenomenal run. 17-0.
Incredible.
Wow.
I still can't believe it.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Nebraska ball.
But we now got to get into the NFL playoffs. And we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of the divisional round. And let's start with the AFC. Let's start with the Saturday game. Bills versus Broncos. That's a 3:30 kickoff. It's going to be in Denver. This is a curious one already because it opened up with the Bills as a slim point-and-a-half favorite. Line totally flipped about a day later. The Broncos got to be a point-and-a-half favorite. Last time I opened up the War Horse Sportsbook app, we got into the Bet Builder app. It was a coin flip. It was 0-0.
Oh my.
So this is a straight up coin flip of a game, and there can be a case made for either side. Where are you going?
Well, I mean, Denver's defense is something. I mean, that's why they're there, right?
Yeah.
It's 100% the defense. That's what got them to the one seed. Bo Nix ain't it. Bo Nix has improved that he's a difference maker. Yeah, but you know, you step up and do those playoffs. The Bills have been here before many, many times.
Yes, they have.
Their offense is incredible. Man, that spread being a pick 'em.
Yeah.
I really liked the idea of Bills plus 1.5.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. When I was getting points on with the Bills, I was like, let's go.
Yeah, that's evaporated. I bet if you shopped it around enough, and it's really hard to get a gauge on, well, who's the sharp money? Who's the squares? You know, because this thing is so tight, and there really can be a case made for both sides. The Bills are so beat up, and it starts with Josh Allen.
Yeah.
We saw it that previous game. He already had a busted up ankle. I think he went into that x-ray, that little blue tent, twice in the first half, and he was still scrambling, dragging players towards the end zone. I think he had two linebackers on his back and still drug them 8 yards towards the end zone on one of those later drives. On the very opposite end of the spectrum, the Broncos are getting healthy. They had a nice little bye week there, being the one seed, and they're at home.
They are at home. And Sean Payton, man, he's been...
And you're all... And I get it. But the best player on the field is the quarterback, is Josh Allen. I'm just thinking he is so beat up. It is so contingent on him, where the Broncos, I feel, just have more going for them. Also, I think that bye is going to play into this.
So, hear me out. Josh Allen, he's the best player on the field, right?
Uh-huh.
We can all agree on that.
Yes.
Do you think, even though he's beat up, do you think, and he's been here before, that playoff experience, that talent, the MVP talent of Josh Allen,
yes,
isn't enough to overcome and score? Because what are they going to need to win this game? 24 points, probably?
Yeah, that's what the total is saying. It's not budging, really, from 46 to 47.
Right.
Yeah.
24 points. You don't think Josh Allen, MVP Josh Allen, can't put together enough to get 24 points to beat these Broncos?
You know, this is one of the best defenses in the league, is the Broncos defense. And you mentioned what might be lacking with Bo Nix, but he's got a world-class, a Super Bowl championship-level coach.
Yes, he does.
And he has that defense in his back pocket as well. So I like the idea of Josh Allen being able to rise up and will this team to one more victory. But how many times can you go to the well and do that?
Right.
The script is out on the Bills and what has to happen, and they're just as beat up as ever, including Mr. Allen.
Yeah, whenever a run for a team comes to an end, it's generally something like this, where it's like, man, they gave it everything they had. They're going down one last full swing. And the Bills have been very good for how many years now with this team, this staff, like just putting it together.
Yeah, and I think that's an unfair. I'm seeing a lot of posts out there and quarterback comparisons, and everyone's saying, "Well, if Allen was ever going to do it, this is the year. No Lamar Jackson, no Patrick Mahomes,
Herbert.
Like that. No Herbert. There. that was a good one.
No, thank you.
But it really is a team game, and there's also wonky stats out there that show lesser quarterbacks with a lot more playoff wins than some of the big-time names out there. I think C.J. Stroud has two more playoff wins than Dak Prescott, or three more. Like, what?
And he's a guy that always plays in the first round and gets those wins. Yeah. It's true.
Somehow turns the ball over three times in the red zone and they
still win.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Dax is like one of the leading yards guy year in and year out. And just, you know, that speaks to the point of it. It really is a team game. And for that, I like Denver in this coin flip right here. Do you have a player prop?
I do, actually. The as good as the Denver defense is, something they haven't been very good at is stopping tight ends. They've given up over 1,000 yards to tight ends this season. I do an anytime touchdown with Dawson Knox of the Bills. He has scored a touchdown in two of the last five games. Denver doesn't defend them very well. I like Dawson Knox being find himself open. Maybe Josh Allen can just chuck one up there and see what happens.
That's interesting because remember last week we went heavy in on Puka Nacua?
Yes.
And being the leading receiver throughout the playoffs. Well, that line has gotten even sharper now, and he's at actually minus money now.
I bet.
But one of the guys right behind him that's in the runnings as one of the top guys being a bet on is Kincaid, the other tight end for the Bills.
Really?
So that...
That actually speaks to what I'm saying
exactly
there.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying there. I'll go with an anytime touchdown, and I'll go with Josh Allen.
Okay.
I think Denver's defense is going to shut down Cook as much as possible, limit his runs. And when that happens, Josh scrambles. Josh makes it happen. Like you said, I think he's going to do everything in his power to get this team over the hump or try to. And a lot of times that means in the red zone, he's going to get into that end zone.
Man, to exactly your point, and as much as I'm saying they don't defend tight ends very well, Denver crushes running backs. So you nailed it. Because Josh Allen, if he's gonna if he's gonna make it happen on the ground, it's gonna be his feet. So that makes sense.
Yep. Should we shift gears here and head on over to the other divisional round game in the AFC? It's gonna be on Sunday, the 2 o'clock game.
Okay. ESPN.
ESPN. So that will be the Texans at New England, heading to a well-rested New England Patriots team. Patriots are a solid 3-point favorite. That total, pretty low, 40. Sitting at 40 right now. Texans are no strangers to being the underdogs. they actually play fairly well being an underdog. This line, a lot of books had it open up at 2.5. You're seeing a lot of threes across the board now. We'll say a consensus three out there.
Yeah, I'm seeing is three and that total at 40, 40 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds about right.
Yeah.
The threes going to New England. They're sitting in New England. This makes a lot of sense. Texans defense is so good.
Yeah, they are.
So good.
Yeah, you saw that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chargers.
And the Patriots, like their defense, very good as well. But they don't necessarily pile it on. With Drake May. So I don't foresee a lot of points in this football game. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't either. And the Patriots are getting healthy on defense. I heard they're getting three key guys back. Remember all that talk with Drake May being an MVP?
Right.
So you start putting all these factors together, and I don't know. I almost feel like Patriots minus three might be one of the better bets out there. Oh, in this divisional round.
So you like the Patriots?
I like the Patriots minus three here.
Okay.
At home, well rested. If the Steelers can somehow hang in there with the Texans, I'm thinking a well rounded team, a well rested team, a well coached team in the Patriots at home is going to take care of business here.
See, I saw Mike Vrabel get headbutt in the face at the end of last week's game, and he's bleeding from his lip.
Sure, yes, he was.
I saw that, and I thought, well, they're going to watch their coach all beat up all week, and they're going to wonder, do we have that kind of toughness? And I'm thinking that there's no way that they're going to go in there thinking that they are as good as the Texans, even on the toughness level. So that really stuck in my brain all week.
What stuck with me was how many times C.J. Stroud got in the red zone and continuously either fumbled the ball or just threw the ball straight to
that's a good point.
Steeler. Like they should have dominated that game the way that defense played throughout the entirety of that game against Aaron Rodgers, and they still just couldn't put the Steelers away. That was such a ugly game. Made no sense to me how this is playoff football. This is the cream of the crop. This is the NFL. So I got, for whatever lumps, you know, blemishes the Patriots might have had a week ago. And if you're a fiery coach getting headbutt and a bloody lip.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I still like that more than what I saw from the Texans. That.
Well, I believe in their defense, and I believe in the Texans' offense to do enough. I like the idea of getting 3 points there, but my play would be Houston money line getting the plus 145.
Okay.
I do think Houston's going to outright win the game.
Okay.
But surely take the 3 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You got a player prop?
Absolutely. I was impressed with Drake May's legs last week.
Okay.
66 yards on the Chargers, 41 the week before that against Miami. He's averaging nearly 29 yards on the ground a game. The line is at 24.5. So with everything on the line, I think Drake May is going to be running again.
Yeah.
I'd take the over on his rushing yards.
Okay. And he's a very athletic guy.
He is.
He's a very athletic quarterback. Kind of undersold, you know. He got some of his flowers earlier in the season and then kind of faded a little bit. But, no, he's more than capable. Any of the unders on C.J. Stroud, I am so out on this guy. Also, Nico Collins is number one target, a number one receiver. There we go. Got it. He's probably going to be out. He's injured. If nothing, he's not going to be anywhere close to 100%. So I don't care if it's passing yards, rushing yards, anytime turnover, piled on CJ Stroud for me.
That's awesome. So we know where you stand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I like the Patriots this week. Fair enough. I don't know. I like the home team. All right. You heard the horn there. That means we're up against it, but let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the AlignMakers.com, where we don't chase the hype, we decode it, treating every wager like an investment. AlignMakers.com, we make the line so you beat the book. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL.
WTL.
Capitalism is the only way, Leslie. It moves our country forward. It's what makes America great, and England okay, and France terrible.
WTL.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
the J.O.
Yeah, right. And we got to get right back into it. We're talking NFL playoffs, talk to AFC. Now we got to get to the NFC because there's a couple of bangers on the slate here. Mm-hmm. And it starts with a rivalry game here Saturday, 7 o'clock. That is the 49ers, for the third time this year, the rubber match, heading on out to Seattle. The early line is telling me there's not going to be a lot of points scored here.
Yeah, correct.
It's going to be cold.
It's going to be cold.
And for all those factors, we see a lot of people betting the under, and it is moving that under. What do we got here? 44.5 total?
Yeah, I'm seeing 40 anywhere between 44.5, 50, 45.5.
Yeah.
Everything's swinging Seattle.
Yeah.
Their way. I mean, their defense. I mean, that's probably the story of this thing, right? Between that and the injuries on the other side. So.
Well, I think a big story is, the injuries for San Francisco. That's not slowing down.
Right.
I don't know if that's the substation, the electrical currents.
Yeah, is that a real thing?
I don't know.
Is that a real?
Man, everybody's talking about it, though.
It really is.
And then that story breaks, and George Kittle goes out in the first half.
Like, right on cue.
What?
Yeah.
You know, and Warner, I was putting a lot of stock in him being back because that was the story I saw. And, oh, no, game time decision, he's not going to make it. And it's the same song and dance this week. So I'm like, no, you're out too. You're not going to play Seattle, so I'm not counting on any of these guys getting healthy for this game. This is, though, a wild point spread. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it. 7.5 over a touchdown and the extra point, a divisional game, a divisional rivalry, one that I know is a long time ago, but this is the rubber match. Yeah. San Francisco beat Seattle week one, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Seven's a lot of points in the
7.5.
7.5.
You got the hook.
In the divisional round. Given everything said, is Kittle worth half a point? Is that where that came from? Because
I don't think so. They've had to deal without him for long stretches this season, the season before that. And you just saw Juszczyk, the fullback, got four targets, four catches. As soon as he went down, you also saw Tungus, one of the backup tight ends, snag a touchdown after Kittle went down. So I think he's replaceable. As good as he is, I don't think that offense will skip a beat.
Man, it's got to be. It's got to be because Seattle rested, yep. right? One yep. seed, so they're sitting at home. They're ready for this game. They're at home. The Niners beat up, banged up, but that's been their thing all season. I don't see that being seven. I'd take the Niners.
Really?
I think the Niners could win this game outright.
Yeah.
Frankly, I think they could.
It feels that way just if for no other reason. Divisional games get wonky.
They do.
Right? And this is a rubber match. I'm looking at this, and I think I like Seattle.
Okay.
I think I like Seattle. They had three trips to the red zone that last time they played a couple weeks ago. Didn't convert on any of them. I think this week they are. I think Sam Darnold may have learned something. They're going to cut him loose a little bit. I think that all the other things you're talking about, maybe not George Kittle's injury, but all those injuries on defense
okay.
is going to have an impact. You also had Trent Williams go down, and that offense complexion for San Francisco really changed. If they can't keep him upright, it might get out of hand in a hurry. I just, there's no way that Seattle is going to have that type of a performance offensively where they don't capitalize on their opportunities like they did a couple of weeks ago. I still like the under for no other reason. These are two really good defenses, two well-coached teams, and it is a divisional game. But I think Seattle is going to cover this.
Well, I always start when I'm looking at a big game like this. I always start with who's the best player on the field, on both sides.
Okay,
Christian McCaffrey.
Yes.
So I go, edge to Niners on that, and then who's got momentum? Well, the Niners they've just been in playoff mode for a while due to these injuries.
Okay.
Because they've had to get themselves, through some adversity. So Seattle's sitting at home, they're on bye, they're preparing, but the Niners have already been grinding.
Right. Yep.
So there's something to that, but
there is.
But Seattle seven and a half.
They're also on a 7-game winning streak, Seattle. And they're at home. I hate that many points even during the regular season. So I mean, this is probably just a strong lean, but I don't know. I might get a little wild here. I might put something on this. You got a player prop?
Absolutely. Brock Purdy.
Okay.
He's going to go under. 226.5 passing yards. Seattle's defense on average has only given up 193 on the year. I do think Seattle's defense kind of controls this thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean the Niners couldn't win the game, but Purdy will be kept in check.
Yep. All of that. If I'm going to do a prop, any type of a flyer on Purdy, it's going to be like his over rushing yards because I think he's going to get flushed out of the pocket. And he's going to have to.
He has to.
And I think it's like 18.5 yards. He could get that in two scrambles. I'm going Christian McCaffrey.
There we go.
Under. 16.5 carries is his total right now. He only had 8 carries the last time they played. Now, he might have 11 catches, 8 catches, but he's not going to be running the ball like that. Seattle's going to shut that down early. They did the last 2 games. And for that, I was shocked that his carry total is over twice the amount that he carried the last time these two teams went at it, only a couple of weeks ago.
That's interesting.
So I think it's the under. All the way the under here. All signs point towards this under. I feel pretty good about that one.
I find it interesting that we're taking the under on his rushing attempts, but still both are like he's going to be a factor. He's just going to get the receptions. Like he's going to be in the mix. He's so talented.
He is. And there's injuries at receivers like there always is. I had Pearsall on my fantasy team. What a frustrating, never drafting that dude again. Maybe that's what's going on with San Francisco. I'm so bitter with those.
You have to be. You're so mad. You're like, Seattle by 14, right? Should be a double digit.
I'm just drinking the Sam Darnold like a holdover Viking fan or something. He is the truth, you guys. I swear it. All right, let's move on to the late Sunday game to wrap things up. That is the L.A. Rams taking on my Chicago Bears. I'm going to do my best not to let my fandom affect this game whatsoever. Right now, there's some value here. The Rams are favored anywhere between 3.5 to 4.5. I am seeing probably more 4.5s out there than 3.5s.
Absolutely. That's what I'm seeing, too. Yeah. In Chicago.
Yeah.
How did the Bears get the main event spot on divisional weekend?
Two seed, baby. Nothing but highlights. you got the Iceman doing his thing, doing the Jumpman pose, falling backwards, dropping dimes. You know, their defense gave up four touchdowns to four different receivers to the Packers and somehow still won that game.
And still won the game.
I'm watching that. I'm at a little party, and, you know, the whole time I'm thinking, there's still time. Yeah, there's still time. It could happen. You know? Wow. Yeah. What a game for the ages. I didn't see that. I really didn't see that coming. I thought the Bears were dead to rights, but here they are, the two seed, hosting another playoff game. And this is one of those spots where I kind of feel like, don't overthink this. You have a home dog.
Yeah.
Weather's going to be a factor. The Rams haven't played a game outside in freezing conditions since 1983, 1977. It was crazy, whenever it was.
Wow.
Decades ago. And I know people are saying, oh, it's Matt Stafford. That's not going to affect him. Yeah, it is. He's got a hurt hand, a hurt index finger. All he's got to do is follow through and hit one of those helmets one more time. I'm digging here, but I think the Bears can cover that 4.5.
Well, that's, you saw it in the game last week. Stafford looked electric. Hurts the finger.
Yeah.
Suddenly not as electric. And that's just what's going to happen to a quarterback.
And you were high on the Rams last week.
I was.
And for good reason. Like, what did the Panthers show us all season?
Right.
Like, why were they even there? And the Rams were becoming a very trendy pick to make the Super Bowl. To win the Super Bowl, and that was weeks ago. And at times, I thought the Rams looked pretty mundane. They had to come back twice.
Yeah.
Two game-winning drives in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, they did what ultimately we thought they were going to do and win the game. But, man, the course just wasn't, you know, the way we thought it would be. You know, I thought the Bears and Packers were going to have a slugfest. I thought it was going to be a crazy game, and that's exactly what it was.
It's exactly what it was. And you know, like the Rams, I think that's a true sign of a championship squad.
Yeah,
when you can come back and win games. But that's also a credit to your Bears because they have done that over and over and over again this season with some comeback wins. So it's pretty impressive.
The Bears set a record, an NFL record, 7 wins this season when trailing in under 2 minutes. They also set a record. They have 3 wins when they're trailing by more than 10 points in the last 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
The rest of the NFL is like 3-158, 3-158, and the Bears themselves have 3 of those wins. So that kind of feeds back into your luck's got to run out sometime. I hope it doesn't. I hope it holds on. I'm just thinking the Bears at home, they can lose by a field goal, right?
Oh, yeah.
We can do this. Yeah, come on. Could, bear could, down.
They could lose by a field goal.
Do you got a player prop?
Well, I just go with what you know, which is Puka Nacua. I mean, he is so freaking good.
Yeah.
He's averaging, you know, 100 yards a game. I mean, just keep feeding him. He's going to get his.
Yeah.
And the Bears could still win this game. Puka's going to get his.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm going there.
I'll stay right there because last week he was nothing but a money train for us. I mean, that first drive, he cashed all my, you know, my prop bets for me, and I think he's going to do it again. That first drive is going to be scripted. I think in the first half, he's got four receptions is his over-under. I think he's going to crush that in the first half.
He'll get in the first half easy.
He might have 3 receptions on the first drive.
He very well could.
With a touchdown.
And that's, we're not even being sarcastic. Like, that is real. And the fact that the line's that low is nuts.
It is crazy. Real quick, we're up against it, but that total isn't moving a lot. I think it's been going down just a slight bit because of the weather. Does that concern you? 44.5 is what I'm seeing.
No, weather isn't real. So I believe that 47.5, somewhere in there, I'm going to take the over. I think there's going to be points scored.
I think it's going to be an over, too. Yeah. Bears have a lot of injuries. Best linebacker on the team went down. He's not coming back. And they're susceptible. I mentioned it last week. They let 4 different receivers score touchdowns to Green Bay. And the Rams offense, when it wants to, can just march up and down the field. And the Bears offense, give them their due, give them their credit. They can move the ball. I think that'll keep the pressure on the Rams offense. I think this point total is going to get jacked up the closer we get to kickoff.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right, well, that'll about do it for us this week at Where's the Line. Be sure to check us out on YouTube and stay tuned for those YouTube shorts. We're going to have some college football championship content coming your way. That kicks off Monday, of course, Indiana, Miami, at Miami, at their home stadium. What is this, Nebraska 95, Nebraska 93? What's going on here?
That's wild.
How do those Florida teams always get to do that? Also, follow us over on ESPN Tri-City Radio and their Facebook page for some short videos, content like that. And if you haven't got on board with us on X yet, please do. Give us a like, give us a subscribe, whatever you feel like. Gotta say thanks to Rod Vermilio and the Global Sports Betting Network for hooking us up with the linemakers.com. And there's going to be some free plays over there. So go check out that website if you haven't already. That's the linemakers.com. For Jeremy Odom, a.k.a. the J-O, I'm Andy Klassen. Thank you for listening. This has been WTL.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now, all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.